Afternoon, Northumberland. Joining me now on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Mickey Falk. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Glad to be here. Glad you could be here with us. I know you've been out in the field, and that must have been very exciting stuff.
Always like to go to the field.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one thing to call yourself a geologist, but to actually be a guy who's out in the field, that really sort of brings it home and makes it a reality for you, doesn't it?
Well, I've been doing it for over 30 years, so I guess so, Dave.
Well, let's talk about commodities. You know, yesterday I read an interesting article about how a few of these hedge funds, the commodity hedge funds, actually sort of missed their targets. It was a report put out by HSBC and a bank from Britain, and they basically said that, you know, it's like as though they had their head in the clouds. You know, I mean, given the long winter and the fact that we have a late crop season now, I mean, obviously the prices of soy and wheat and things like that are going to go up because of that. And of course, the longer winter meant longer gas purchases, natural gas prices went up, oil and gas. So it just seems odd to me, anyway, as an investor, that these guys didn't see it coming. I mean, everyone else seemed to see it coming.
Well, I don't really know. You know, it's Mother Nature. These companies shorted the soft commodities, which are basically agricultural products and energy. But you can't really bet for or against Mother Nature.
No.
You know, the Earth is a big dynamic place. So I think the severity of the winter in the central and northeast parts of the U.S. and Canada caught a lot of companies by surprise. You know, I think probably what happened with these hedge funds is, unlike the big banks, they didn't hedge against their shorts, so they got caught with their pants down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the CRB index was up about 9% in the first quarter. And, you know, it was mainly driven by grains and energy. You know, I don't know if it's still frozen, but as of last week, two-thirds of Lake Superior were still frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get, you know, there's this big backlog of grain and coal sitting in western or in the prairie provinces of Canada and on the Great Lakes, trying to get to ports and out to the ocean. So that had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, because you know, as you know, there's still this grain backlog here in Canada. I don't know if you guys had the same similar problem in the U.S., but I know we've had just that devil of a time getting the trains necessary to move the product to market. Now, we used to have, of course, the Canada Wheat Board, and they were the ones who used to get everything to market for the farmers. They just being a part of the Wheat Board, you could just, you know, you would have the trains booked long in advance. But once they got rid of the Wheat Board here in Canada, nobody thought about booking the trains, it seems.
Well, I don't really know what goes on in Canada exactly, but I do know there's a big backlog, and it certainly is exacerbated by the fact that the Great Lakes are frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it looks like spring has sprung up in your part of the world. But there's still this backlog, and it's going to take time to get it to market for sure.
Where do you see the big changes this week in commodities? I mean, it's great that we're doing the show Friday, by the way. We might actually switch to Fridays because it's the end of the week, and it's a great day to do a wrap-up.
Well, it certainly is. And the precious metals were flat over the week, although gold did hit 1315.
Mm-hmm.
Before it pulled back, it closed at 1289. Silver was essentially flat. Platinum gained a little bit over the week, closed at 1430. It hit a high of 1450. The only one that really went down was palladium. I think it got a little bit ahead of itself.
Mm-hmm.
What we've seen in the precious metals this week is it's these ups and downs are driven by whichever the way the wind is blowing in this Russian-Ukrainian situation. Interestingly enough, there's been some speculation that this Russian-Ukraine situation could be bullish for gold because all the Russian oligarchs are going to be reticent to put their rubles into dollars with the certainly the bully pulpit coming out of the U.S. that
mm-hmm.
There are going to be additional sanctions put on Russia.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's not just the United States either. I mean, it's U.S., of course, which is the major, but of course, Europe as well, Great Britain, Canada as well has offered some sanctions. But, I mean, let's be frank, Canada does not do a whole lot with Russia. I mean, that's
well, I think what it is where you're going to put your rubles, because ruble is not a stable currency.
Mm-hmm.
So your choices become U.S. dollars, the euro, or gold. And so which would you rather have your billions of petrodollars in? I would choose gold myself. And so the thinking is that the oligarchs will follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know that things are still sort of slow in China. We're not seeing any, China's been sort of kicked off the front page in terms of what they're doing too by this Ukrainian-Russian thing. And I think it's maybe taken a little heat off of China so they can quietly do what it is they're doing, which is sort of a restructuring, isn't it?
Well, it is, and they're trying to cool down their economy a bit. But conversely, copper hit a two-month high this week. It closed the day at almost 308. And that's the high since we had that 10% correction a couple of months ago. It's also in backwardation on both the 3- and 6-month contracts, which means that demand is looked at now better than it will be in 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
This has really been driven this week by Chinese export data in April, import and export data both up, and so there's speculation that the Chinese have been buying some copper at a relatively low price.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big story in commodities this week has to be nickel. It's popped up 20% in the last 2 months, driven mainly by the ore export ban that the Indonesians, in their wisdom, are trying to implement, resulted in a closure of one of Vale's mines in New Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
So the nickel price popped this week. Oil and gas have been flat over the last couple of weeks. WTI closed at 100 and change. Brent flat at $1.08.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Hub gas dropped about a quarter over the week, but once again we'll say, and this has been corroborated by another radio show I do out of Toronto, that spring has finally sprung in your part of the world.
It absolutely has. It really has. And so, well, Environment Canada is saying that we're going to look forward to patches of hot spells, but we're really going to see a long wet season until probably mid-July, so...
Well, I tell you, spring sprung here about a month ago, but I got up early this morning to irrigate my pastures, and it froze here last night. So 0C here last night, and we're looking right now, it's probably about 22 degrees C. So this time of year, it's dry, and we get these big temperature changes.
Well, we know the U.S. dollar strengthened today against the euro and Japanese yen after the European Central Bank signaled it could deliver fresh monetary stimulus next month, but... how's that boding for the U.S. economy overall? I mean, I know the markets were up. The U.S. markets were all pretty much
well. The Dow, Dave, the Dow set an all-time closing high this today. But the highs that have been achieved in S&P 500 has been flirting with highs and setting highs over the last month or so. But this is very much on low volume, so there's just not a lot of buying. So the confidence in the U.S. economy going forward and the stock market going forward is not good. But once again, I think we're in the sell and may and go away regime right now. And some years we have this, some years we don't. But I think what we're seeing, let's look, I'll change the subject a bit, but the Toronto Venture Exchange is down, almost 18 points this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been driven by there's more sellers than buyers.
Absolutely. Both the TSX and the Venture closed off today. I mean, the TSX closed almost 12 points down to 14,534, and the TSX Venture below 1,000 at 991.10 today. So, not a lot of great news from the Canadian markets.
Well, conversely, again, though, the Toronto stock market set an all-time high about a week ago. So, not all-time high, let me correct myself, a six-year high. So it's been going up, and I've had a little trouble explaining that with a general weakness in commodities. Probably the big story remains the weakness in uranium. Fell below the base of $30 a pound this week, down to $29 a pound. No one can make money at $29 a pound, even the lowest cost ISR producers in the U.S. and places like Kazakhstan are going to lose money at this price.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And as you said, there's not really a lot of investor confidence out there right now. I mean, people are still wondering whether or not the economic recovery that, you know, both Canada and the U.S. have been talking about for the last 3 or 4 years is actually starting to pick up speed. I mean, it's been sort of, I guess the growth has been, they'd like to say slow and steady wins the race, but I think it's been a lot slower than that.
Well, I think it's debatable whether we've really had growth.
Lots
of manipulation of government statistics, but any growth has been fueled by quantitative easing. And there's lots of money being created, but it's not being lent by the banks. And so, whatever has happened since 2008 to keep economies, and this goes far past North America. This applies to the Japanese. And the Euros and North America and the Chinese, the entire growth of the world's economy has been fueled by devaluing fiat currencies, and that's why we remain very bullish on gold.
Well, and Yellen is still indicating that. I mean, how long do you figure till quantitative easing is done as far as Yellen is
concerned? It's been 4 months since they started quantitative tapering, and they knocked it off $10 billion a month. So it started at $85 billion at the first of the year, and we're at $45 billion now. So do the math. That means somewhere around October or so, we will no longer be buying back our bonds. So we'll see if that happens. But the market really hasn't reacted one way or the other to that. You know, the Fed's been building a stock market bubble. The question really becomes, when we're in for a correction? That's really hard to know.
No, absolutely. And is a correction going to be beneficial to the economy? I mean, in the short term, it might be detrimental, but is it going to be long-term detriment, or are we going to see some actual growth? Because I think what you're saying here is that a lot of this growth has been the hand-holding of the federal governments. And once, you know, it's kind of like teaching your kid how to ride a bike, right, Mick, with the training wheels. Once you pull the training wheels off and let the kid go, are we going to see a wipeout, or are we going to see the kid cruise down the block?
Well, I think kids always wipe out when they first realize they're riding on two wheels, but that's an interesting analogy. Certainly, I think most pundits and macroeconomists on all sides would say that we are due for a correction, and corrections are always good because markets tend to get ahead of themselves and they need to come back and kind of revamp and start all over. We'll see what happens, but you know, this whole growth by increasing the monetary supply is just cannot go on forever.
No, absolutely. Well, you can't buy your way out of debt, right?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We'll see how long it lasts.
Well, I thought the world learned that under Ronald Reagan when he did that whole, you know, we'll do that. We'll do Reaganomics. I mean, everyone knows that failed. What happened? Did we just suddenly turn around and forget all about that?
Well, economists, no matter which side you're on, you know, trying to manage a big economy is futile, and it always fails in one way or the other. And you know, it's going to come and get us one of these days.
Any idea how?
That's why I want to own gold.
There you go. Own it. Bury it in your backyard. Bury it deep so someone can't find it with a metal detector too. So, but you got to make sure you know where it is, though, so you don't forget.
Well, yeah, you and one other person in the world.
That's right.
Make yourself a treasure map and make sure no one can find that map. That's the most important thing, yeah.
Absolutely. Any idea? Now, I normally don't ask you for predictions on a Thursday, but on a Friday, the week's ended. Any idea what we can look forward to on a Monday? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but any idea what you think might happen going into next week?
Here's what I'm going to tell you is going to happen on Monday. I'm going to make an appearance on BNN at 10 a.m. for everybody, anybody interested, and the theme's going to be the way it's called, it's getting better, and it's an analysis of the Toronto Venture Exchange and where I think we're going. And I will be coming live from New York City. We're at the Metals and Minerals Conference, and I'm going to be so busy, and I'm so busy with that right now, that I'll pass on a prediction on what's going to happen in the market on Monday.
Well, there we go. Well, typically during a metal show, there's a little bit of a sluggishness anyway. I remember last year it was a little sluggish.
Well, this is not a big show. This is probably a tenth of the size of the PDAC. But at least it gets us all to New York. And what a I don't think you can find a better time to be in New York City than in mid-May, because that's when the girls quit dressing for snow and start dressing for show.
There you go. Dressing for snow or dressing for show. That's what we're talking about. Hey, listen, I wanted to, before we wrap up, I want to ask you a question. One interesting news story came out of the Yukon this week. They have found actual original footage from the 1919 Black Sox World Series.
I hadn't heard about that.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
You got to send me a link on that.
I'm going to have to find that and send you that link. I want to thank you again, Mick. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We won't hear from you next week because you're going to be busy. I know that. But we'll follow up the following week if we can.
I appreciate it, Dave. I'm going to take a little vacation here after this New York show.
There you go. Always a pleasure, Mick. Thanks for talking to us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.